Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In Britain, a 43-year-old woman, Sarah Porter, is in jail for intentionally trying to infect men with the AIDS virus. And she's apparently done this with dozens of men. And so far, of those being tested, one, a disc jockey, age 31 years old, has proved positive for HIV. And of course, that's a tragedy. She should be charged with attempted murder, and the penalty for murder is death. And according to God's word, the Bible, the penalty for attempted murder is also death. When a criminal attempts to commit a crime, he is responsible and should be punished as though he had successfully committed the crime. When you intentionally infect someone with a fatal disease, then the punishment, of course, should be death, even though it'll take some time to have its toll. Okay, now, we have in America violent crime here that is now on the upswing, and this is something, hopefully this upswing will not continue and it'll turn around and even decrease. But we here at Bob Enyart Live have been warning for a long time that during the 90s, we didn't actually prevent crime when the crime rates went down. It wouldn't be as accurate to say we prevented all that crime since the rates went down, but we postponed all that crime. Because when the 90s began, we had about a million Americans in jail, a million people in jail in America, at the city, county, state, and federal levels, about a million, and we aggressively began locking up criminals to where we doubled the number of people in prison, approximately, to about 2 million people in jail. And of course, then the crime rate went down, but the danger is that prison is a very bad idea. Prison is a humanist idea. God has only authorized three forms of punishment: restitution, corporal punishment like flogging, and capital punishment, the death penalty. Just those three forms of punishment. They're very inexpensive to impose, and they're very effective at being a deterrent. But prison is school. Prison is crime school. You send criminals to prison, and they get worse. And that's why recidivism rates are so horrendous. Crime in prison is horrendous. Jail is a joke. So now what we have in America is murders on the rise, about a 5% increase in murder. There were 16,900 victims in 2005, last year. Last year, 16,900 murder victims, and that's the most since 1998, and the largest increase since Bob Enyart Live has been on the air in the last 15 years. Okay? And, for example, in Houston, murders went from 272 to 334. But that probably includes the Katrina effect. Right? In Philadelphia, they went from 330 murders in 2004 to 377. In Las Vegas, from 131 to 144. So those are 23% increases, 14%, and 10%, respectively. And this, of course, is tragic. And 16,900 murder victims. Now, a number of murderers murder more than one victim. So if some are multiple murders, two or three or five or more. And so that probably equates to around 12,000 murderers. And so when you think of all the grief, all the tragedy, the family sorrow, and this is because our country does not have the swift and painful death penalty. God promised us in the Bible that if you have a swift and painful death penalty, that you would not have a crime epidemic. And when you have thousands of murders every year, like clockwork, then you have an unnecessary crime epidemic. And the thing that creates a crime epidemic is a bad criminal justice system. That's what's responsible. And so we have our lawyers in America. They say we have the best criminal justice system in the world. They say we have the best system in the world. And lawyers speak in legalese, right? They don't speak English. They speak a different tongue. And so we have to translate that for you. When lawyers say that we have the best system in the world, what they mean is that we have the highest paid lawyers in the world. In reality, if you look at our violent crime rates and our incarceration rates in America, we have one of the worst criminal justice systems in the world. When there is a crime epidemic, the blame lies at the feet of the government and specifically its criminal justice system. All right. Now, I'd like to go to the phones and talk to our producer, Ray Graybar, who lives in the mountains, in the Rocky Mountains. Ray, welcome on the air. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. It's so good to talk to you again, and appreciate you taking my call. Bob, we're celebrating life up here at Ross Mountain today.
Yeah.
My beautiful wife, Dorothy, has a birthday today.
Happy birthday to Dorothy. And, you know, I know already there's listeners thinking, why would Bob's producer call to talk about his wife's birthday? That's not newsworthy. But, Ray Graybar, this is newsworthy.
Are you familiar with a DNR, medical term, DNR?
DNR? Well, I'm going to have to get our medical analyst, Nurse Maria, on. Yeah, that's do not resuscitate.
That's right. Do not resuscitate. Dorothy was admitted to the hospital on the Memorial Day. And on the day that we were there, a nurse came in and she wanted to know about Dorothy's living will. And we said, well, she doesn't have a living will. Hmm. And they wanted to know if she would be want to be resuscitated if something happened to her. And we had a real heated discussion on that.
Yeah, Ray, I have talked about this with your daughter, Michelle Ross.
Yes.
And Michelle has filled me in on the story, and it sounds like this nurse was basically trying to convince your wife to sign this do not resuscitate, and the nurse misrepresented Dorothy's medical condition.
She sure did. She said to Dorothy, she says, but Dorothy, I want you to realize that if something, I'm not saying you're going to stop breathing, but if something should happen and re-resuscitated you, you would come back as a woman who has cancer.
As a woman who has cancer. Now, Dorothy Graybar, your wife, had a tumor some months back. I went up to Fort Collins to visit you guys in the hospital, and the doctor successfully removed the tumor, which we're so grateful for that. And then Dorothy has subsequently been tested and has been found to be clear of cancer cells.
That's correct.
So when the nurse said, if you come back, you come back as a woman with cancer, that was factually not true.
Absolutely was not true, and I confronted her on that. I asked her, what qualifications does she have to predict the future to say that Dorothy, again, will get cancer?
Right. Now, cancer does come back, not for everyone. I mean, it could come back, but she is cancer-free as of right now, and when this nurse was talking to her. And then a really startling development occurred. Now, thankfully, were you in the room when that nurse came in, right?
That's correct.
So we're talking to Bob and Yurt Live's producer, Ray Graybar. So, Ray, you set the nurse straight and explained that your wife wants to live and did not want to die.
Correct.
And she did not have cancer. And so then what happened?
Well, it was a unique experience for Dorothy, to say the least. On the morning of the 30th, something drastically happened to Dorothy's respiratory system. Hmm. It was either during transition of oxygen systems or some other.
Something got somehow lodged in her pipe,
right,
her windpipe, and she had all of a sudden a horrendously difficult time breathing.
Right, and she was immediately put on a respirator.
She was put on a respirator.
For 8 days.
For 8 days.
She had a feeding tube.
Right. And, And that blockage, whatever that was, it cleared up.
Yes.
And Dorothy now is doing very well. She's at home.
Right.
And it's her birthday today.
And it's her birthday. So we're celebrating life up here at Ross Mountain.
That's right. Happy birthday, Dorothy Graybar. Now, what would have happened if you or your daughter, if you were not in the hospital room and Dorothy was checked into the hospital, she wasn't feeling well, if this nurse would have talked her into signing, just scribbling on this DNR, what would have happened to your wife the next morning?
She would not be here, Bob.
Yeah, she would have died.
I have a pamphlet, a one-page pamphlet right here in front of me. And it also, right on the pamphlet, it says Poudre Valley Hospital. And it says, what are advanced directives, a living will, medical power of attorney, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, substitute decision makers, and guardians.
Right.
And if you have a minute or two, I'll read what the living will says.
All right.
This tells your doctor not to use artificial life support measures if you become terminally ill. It also can be used to stop tube feeding and other forms of artificial nourishment. Coronary pulmonary resuscitation, CPR. Signed by you and your doctor, this document directs paramedics, emergency personnel, and doctors not to use artificial measurements to restore breathing or a heartbeat. This includes not using breathing tubes, electric shock, or pressing on your heart.
Or pressing on your heart.
Or your chest, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
And then guardians, when someone lacks the understanding of capacity to make a personal decision about themselves, a guardian is appointed by the court. Or in Colorado, family members can choose friends, can select a substitute decision maker for a patient who has not signed an advance directive, does not have a guardian, cannot make medical decisions as determined by a doctor or a judge, a spouse, a patient, adult child, grandchild, brother, sister, or any close friend may be chosen as a proxy. So you do not need a living will.
Yeah, if the decision is going to be made to kill the patient, then they make it as streamlined as possible.
Right.
Yeah, and the problem here is that when this nurse comes into Dorothy's hospital room, her goal is to get Dorothy to say, I want to die. I want to die, and if I need to be resuscitated, if I need a breathing tube, if I need a feeding tube for a few days, the nurse's goal is to get the patient to say, refuse that kind of service, you're better off dead.
That's correct. My son-in-law, Mark, had an interesting comment. He said, I think what Dorothy ought to do, or maybe, Michelle, maybe you do this, put a big sign up above her bed, I'm not a donor.
I'm not an organ donor.
Yes.
Yeah, because the fear is, since the bias in our medical community is you're better off dead. You're better off dead if you're a bit older or you've struggled with disease. The bias is you're better off dead. And then if you are an organ donor, then they're sure going to err on the side of killing you. They're sure going to err on that side because that's what they'd like anyway. And one of the reasons this has happened is because in America, we now have a culture of death. And when people are guilty, they look for ways to try to justify themselves and to relieve their guilt. And so somebody supports abortion, or they're an abortionist, or they've taken their daughter to have an abortion, and now they want to look for good reasons to kill other people. And so they say, hey, look, you're going to come back. If you need a breathing tube and we save your life with a breathing tube, then you're going to come back with a woman who's suffering from cancer. So wouldn't you rather just suffocate to death?
That's exactly what was presented to Dorothy.
Mm-hmm. And the reality is that if someone is irreversibly dying, it's okay to let them die if they're irreversibly dying. But we have a culture of death in America where they want to starve to death handicapped people, like little Dylan Walborn, 4 years old, in Broomfield, Colorado, Children's Hospital, recommended to Dylan's parents that they starve little Dylan to death, and sure enough, they did. It took 24 days to kill Dylan Walborn. And in fact, there's a memorial website to him, dylanwalborn.com, Dylan, W-A-L-B-O-R-N.com. And it explains the whole devastating story of how Children's Hospital, who you think would be out there fighting for children, for them to live, encouraged the parents to starve their son to death, who was handicapped. You know, he's a handicapped child, and they did go ahead and starve Dylan to death.
And it took how many days, Bob?
24 days. Right. And even if it only took 5 minutes, it would still be wrong. But that just shows how horrendous, how hard-hearted, how callous human beings can be. And when the medical community goes, beware. Beware, because the rest of the community is not far behind. In fact, we typically learn nothing from history, but Germany in World War II, it was the medical community that led the way to euthanize Germans by the tens of thousands, including children. And it was after that that they began to euthanize Jews for being Jews.
That's an awesome comparison, Bob, and it's so true. And I'm sitting here as you're telling all this, these events, and I'm thinking, poor Dylan, he went how many days again?
24 days.
24 days. And if Dorothy had assigned that DNR, she's pretty healthy other than the fact that she has one lung.
Right.
And I don't know how many days she would have been there starving, but it would have been horrible.
Yeah, starving or suffocating to death.
Right.
And, yeah, exactly. You know, Dorothy is like the perfect patient because she's generally strong, she has tremendous attitude, and she's spiritually strong. So and she's loved, and she loves so many people. So she's the perfect patient. And even they'll go to the perfect patient and try to convince that person, hey, you're better off dead. What was the name of this? Was Poudre Valley Hospital?
Poudre Valley Hospital. And on the bottom of this flyer, Bob, there's a phone number. It says, for more information, call 970-495-8580. So if somebody wanted in the audience wanted to call to get more information on that and get more detailed on it, they're proud of their number.
Yeah. All right, Ray Graybar, thank you. Hey, Ray.
Yes.
You heard the stunt I pulled. You guys were in the hospital.
Right.
And so I didn't have my producer for a while, and Stephen Hawking was in the news. So I pulled a stunt. I made believe that I interviewed him.
You did.
Yeah. And some people, I was surprised by how many people actually thought I really had Stephen Hawking on. I guess I pulled it off too well.
You do. I'm sure you did, Bob. Yeah. I'm sure you made it sound like that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So Ray, are we able to make up for that to the audience by putting together some real live interviews in the coming weeks?
We do have some good live interviews coming up, Bob. We have Barney Goldberg. He was on Hannity last night.
Oh, yeah. He's written that 110 People Messing Up the Country.
Right.
That's a New York Times best-selling book. He's a New York Times best-selling author, and that book is hot right now.
Right. And then we have Ann Coulter coming on.
Coulter, that's a week from today.
All goes well, that should take place. We're scheduled, and I believe you have the book and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, the publisher sent the book.
Right.
Who else we got coming on?
We have Tom Tancredo.
Well, he's one of the most popular U.S. representatives in the country right now.
Right.
The anti-immigration crusader from Colorado.
Right. He should be on in the first week of July.
All right.
And then prior to that, we might get Juan Williams on from Fox News.
Juan Williams. We've had Juan Williams on before. And if we get Juan on, we'll talk about the Democrats wanting to pull out of Iraq.
Right. I was able to speak to him at his office this morning, so we had a little chat and talked mm-hmm. about that, and
all
he
right.
decided that would be a good topic.
All right. That sounds good. And anyone else?
There's a few more in the works, and I can't really say right now until we get something real definite.
All right.
But there's plenty coming down the pipe.
All right. And I think there's one more that, let's see, I think our assistant producer set this one up. This is the vice president of New York City's Federalist Society, Mark Smith, and he's written a book, Disrobed, the battle to break the left stranglehold on the courts. And I think that'll be interesting because, Ray, I'm afraid that Mark Smith, even though he's considered a conservative, I'm afraid he's a hardcore legal positivist.
What do you want to bet he is?
Yeah, I guess so.
So I thought that was also a good one to come up with, and maybe
right.
you can express your opinion and use your focus on the strategy.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
All right, Bob.
Okay, Ray Graybar, thank you so very much. I appreciate that. God bless you. Now, the yo-yo diet, is that what they're calling it, the yo-yo diet? Nestle Foods makes yo-yos, is that right? Well, they're calling it the yo-yo diet. Nestle Foods is buying Jenny Craig. Jenny Craig, the diet company. And since Jenny Craig is being bought by Nestle, they're calling it the yo-yo diet. That's pretty funny, I think. This week, the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to expand its review of the partial birth abortion laws that have been passed around the country. Back in February, they agreed to hear an appeal from Nebraska because Nebraska passed a partial birth abortion ban, and then the pro-aborts took that to court, and the judge overturned it or put a stay on it. Now it's at the U.S. Supreme Court, and also something similar happened in California, and so the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to combine and hear these cases. And we've talked about this in the past, but we have a problem where the partial birth abortion ban has been basically a publicity event. It's not an actual effort to save an unborn children's life. When a woman is scheduled to have an abortion, not a single scheduled abortion would be canceled if the partial birth abortion ban goes into effect. Because abortionists are trained to use various techniques, and they have for decades, doing their late-term abortions, which they've done hundreds of thousands of late-term abortions in the late second, early third trimester, and even later. And they can do a partial birth abortion, or they can do another procedure like a DNX or other procedures. And so it's rather sobering to realize as a pro-lifer that we have spent millions and millions of dollars, and we've spent over a decade and countless, how many hours of pro-life activism? You got to put it somewhere in the tens of thousands. 100,000 hours of pro-life activism by pro-lifers fighting for this partial birth abortion ban. And the sad thing is most people who are in the trenches, people who listen to conservative radio and TV shows, people who listen to Christian radio, Christian TV, and they're pro-life, and they have been supporting this partial birth abortion ban, what they don't realize is that it's pretty much symbolic. It's too bad our pro-life organizations didn't have the ability to think of a battle that could actually stop a scheduled abortion. We chose this battle, which is mostly only symbolic, which is a real tragedy. Let's go to Arvada, Colorado. Mike, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob.
Welcome,
good,
sir.
Good show today. A little off topic here, but
that's all right.
I just got back from vacation and wanted to share with you some things that I observed back in the Baltimore area.
All right.
I went to the National Aquarium.
Oh, wow. That sounds
Baltimore.
Neat. All right.
Beautiful, beautiful facility there. But one thing in particular we noticed, the kids noticed it, and I got a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these fish called cichlids.
Cichlids.
Cichlid, yeah. They're freshwater fishes. They kind of look like American sunfishes.
All right.
But there's just an incredible diversity of colors and shapes and such. Anyway, the display over the aquarium with these fishes were at said cichlid evolution.
Oh.
Yeah, and then it described the evolution, so to speak, or I guess they're trying to say this is proof of evolution.
All right.
Four sentences. It says, the use of an area's resources in different ways permits a great diversity of life.
Okay.
The many types of cichlids found today are an example of this successful division over time. look closely at the mouths and behaviors of these fish. From basic forms, they have evolved into a number of very specialized types adapted to exploit different diets, methods of feeding, periods of activity, and uses of color. Which is, doesn't it sound a little bit like dogs to me? I mean, it's still a cichlid.
Yeah, right.
Right? But they call it cichlid evolution.
Yeah, and they don't show any evidence that it evolved. They're just showing
right.
as though the thing they're trying to prove, they're using as the evidence for their proof.
Exactly. Well, it sounds a little, well, a lot like the museum in Denver when you all went on that tour.
Yeah.
And they just present it as fact.
Right.
And people would look at you funny if you questioned it.
Now, if they have this is the National Aquarium, and they have this exhibit in cichlid evolution, you think they would put some of the evidence that shows that cichlids evolved. I mean, wouldn't that be good?
Well, it'd be hard to do.
It'd be hard to do because they don't have evidence
exactly.
that cichlids evolved. But you would expect that.
Exactly.
They show a picture of a tree, and they say, look at that tree. See the proof that it evolved?
Exactly.
And you say, well, what proof? They say, well, look at it. There it is.
Yeah.
You say, well, where's the proof it evolved? Well, just look at it. And so that's what we get all over, Mike, and that's supposed to suffice as science, but a lot of gullible people just, they go there and they think they've seen the evidence that fish evolved.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's
all right. And where did cows come from? You know, apparently cows, mammals, evolved from fish, but the problem is a whale is a mammal, so they say that whales evolved from cows. Now, that just cracks me up. So a cow evolved from a fish, and a whale evolved from a cow.
Oh, boy.
It's too much. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Okay, Bob.
God bless you. I appreciate that. So the fish evolves into a cow, and the cow evolves into a whale. And could you imagine the cows that decide that they're going to start hanging out at the beach, and they're going to start going into the surf, and the waves come, and they start to figure out how to lean into the waves, then a big wave comes, tips them over, nature's own cow tipping, and then what does the cow do? The cow's floating around in the surf. What happens? How does a cow deal with the undertow? I can't quite picture that, where the cows are heading back into the sea. So that's Evolution Fairy Tale. That's the evolutionfairytale.org. Okay, now we have a call from Arvada, Colorado, and I think it's regarding the first segment we did with Ray Graybar. Loretta, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello.
Hi, Loretta.
First time to call on a radio show, Bob. I've been listening to you for years.
Well, welcome. It's an honor to have you call.
Thank you. And I have ordered a few things over the years, but this is something that has crossed my mind for a couple of years now.
Yes.
And then you forget about it again, and today it really, brought it back. And how can a person, I'd like someone to call and let us know.
Yeah.
How can we have the donor part of the driver's license revoked?
Okay. In other words, on the back of our yes. Colorado driver's licenses, and this is true in many states, there's an area where you could be an organ donor.
Yes.
Right. Well, I'm looking at mine right now, and I never filled mine out intentionally, but you can cross it off, and you could write revoked on it in a thick black magic marker like
okay.
a Sharpie.
Okay.
So you can do that, and I know many people have done that. And, you know, donating organs and helping people gain sight or helping people live when we have died, that's a fundamentally good and wonderful thing. But the problem is our medical community no longer knows right from wrong.
Yes.
It's a pro-death culture
yes.
that they have supported and brought about. And so you cannot trust the average hospital to make a life or death decision for you.
I agree. You know, I'm well into my 60s, and my husband is also, but we're still active and healthy, but still. And it was something that we encouraged our parents about 20 years ago to have these living wills,
mm-hmm.
But now I would never encourage anyone.
Right, absolutely.
So the way the things are going, we're so godless that...
Right. Instead of the living will, you need to have the will to live.
Yes.
And Colorado Right to Life, at their website, they have a will to live, which people could print out and modify that for their own circumstances.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, much better than a living will is the will to
live. The will to live. Okay.
So that the ambulance driver, the emergency room, doctors,
uh-huh.
your doctor at the hospital will know clearly that you have the will to live.
And where have they got those forms at, Bob?
Well, at their website, ColoradoRightToLife.org.
Oh, Colorado Right to Life at the website. Okay.
Yeah, I would try that. All right,
yep.
Loretta?
Mm-hmm. You betcha.
Okay, God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you very much.
And Loretta, thank you for finally calling in after all these years. Wow, that's neat. And that advice is fine, I'm sure. Just cross it out and use a Sharpie, a black magic marker, and write revoked on the back of your driver's license if, in fact, you signed your organ donor, because we can no longer trust the medical community to make such decisions. I want to encourage you to check out our website, kgov.com, and especially if you've never heard any of our Bible studies, I think you'll really enjoy them. So you can call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We'd be happy to send you a catalog, or just go online to kgov.com, click on our store, and you'll love to see the materials there. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.